is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. This year is the 50th anniversary of ADAPT in Roseburg. And CEO Dr. Greg Brigham on with us. Dr. Brigham, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for this opportunity to talk about this important event for ADAPT.
Well, let's talk about 50 years. Now, 1971, gosh, there were so many things. Almost everything was different back then. How has ADAPT grown over the years? And maybe actually before that, let's start with sort of discussing how it did begin.
So ADAPT was originally the Douglas County Council on Alcoholism, and it was a small outpatient agency formed like many places across the country during a time of growing awareness of the consequences, social and health, of alcoholism and drug addiction in a time where there was really very little service or treatment for those conditions. At that time, alcoholism and really all behavioral health conditions were highly segregated from mainstream medicine and highly stigmatized. So there really were not a lot of resources. So these sort of national and local partnerships developed to start getting a network of services available. But they were very, very meager at that time.
Yeah, I imagine things really changed. Talk about maybe your background in getting into this field. I'm curious about that.
So I've been working in the behavioral health field and starting in the addictions area for about 40 years now. And we've seen a considerable change during that time from, again, what I characterize as fairly remote, isolated, sort of siloed services for addiction, moving steadily towards integration with mainstream medicine and the use of science to improve our interventions for addiction. Now we have many very effective medications and many evidence-based practices to address addiction. And the stigma is still a factor, but is greatly reduced and is even further reduced by integration efforts, which is also a part of our story at ADAPT.
How has the addiction science kind of changed over the years?
Well, early on, there really wasn't much other than self-help and spiritual kind of approaches to trying to help a person with addiction. As they became more severe, they were thought to be largely untreatable. And so they were just protected, and society was protected from them through hospital, long-term hospitalizations and that sort of thing for very advanced people. And because of the stigma, it was very few people sought help because, you know, there wasn't help available, and where it was available, it was highly stigmatized. Now we have very effective medications for treatment of a wide range of addictions problems like opioid dependence. We have several very effective medications for that that can promote long-term recovery. We have medications that substantially reduce the harms of alcoholism. And then we also have demonstrated effective behavioral intervention. So we now know a lot more about what services can be provided that will ensure less harms and greater abstinence. And of course, we have a whole continuum of services like other areas of medicine, starting with lower intensity things like outpatient, progressing up to very intensive outpatient services, and then, of course, residential care. And we've come a long ways in being able to also just get people off of substances safely so that they can engage in recovery activities.
My remembrance from my younger years was that as I grew up, alcoholism was something that was looked upon as being essentially tied to homeless or semi-homeless population, and that was it. It didn't seem to be recognized that it hit in a lot of different sectors of life.
That's true to some degree, but it's largely a stereotype as well. In actuality, there have been at least four first ladies of the U.S. that suffered from alcoholism and addiction. And it really cuts across all socioeconomic classes in our society, all races and genders and religious beliefs.
And I think that's sort of my point, was that that was the way people looked at it, but yet it was anything but accurate.
That's right.
So how did that evolve? I mean, did people, shift through this, or is it just more science, more research getting out there? I know I've heard over the years about people like the first ladies you mentioned, also high-performing members of the business community or political sectors that can continue on. Sometimes it's hidden, sometimes it's not hidden so much.
That's right. I think it's been a combination of more and more people knowing someone who's been affected and is doing better. Certainly celebrities and notable people in government and elsewhere coming forward and being outspoken about their experiences and their recovery has helped. I think as services have become more available, that has helped people understand that there is help out there and to seek it. And also, as we've integrated things more so that primary care physicians and hospitals and mental health centers are also become aware of the treatments that are available, and the barriers to seeking those have been greatly reduced. And any time we can reduce barriers to care, we increase the likelihood that people will receive the right care at the right time. In this case, we're talking about addictions care, of course.
Now, let's talk about the issue of opioids, because it's a lot more that's under your umbrella of caring for than folks just dealing with alcoholism. And certainly, opioids have just become a huge issue.
Yes, and of course, that's particularly true in Oregon, where we had the second highest rate of non-medical use of prescription opiates in the country. And opioid overdoses, of course, exceeded accidental overdoses, exceeded car accidents as the leading cause of death in young adults and teenagers. So very, very severe problem persisting for some while. Of course, we were very focused on the national epidemic of opioid dependence, much more so before the pandemic, where a lot of our attention has shifted, but this problem has persisted. And that's a part of the story of this expanding sort of array of services available for addiction. In 2017, ADAPT opened a subacute medical detoxification program in Roseburg where people could safely withdraw from substances, including opiates. And in 2017, we opened an opioid treatment program in Roseburg and later another one in North Bend where people with opioid use disorder could get ongoing medication treatment. We also offer that medication-assisted treatment as a part of primary care at South River, and that's, I think, representative of this trend towards integrated care. These are highly effective medications for people that have an opioid use disorder. So that's the good news. Opioid use disorder is devastating, many, many deaths and many other harms from it. But the good side is we do have effective treatments.
Do you feel like much headway has been made on the opioid issue? I mean, certainly it's made the national media and it's been out there. There's a lot of back and forth with pharmaceutical companies and things like that about, over-prescriptions, that sort of thing. But is progress being made?
I think tremendous progress is being made, and particularly in Oregon, there was a very big push to reduce the amount of prescribing of opioids for pain and for generating alternative resources, because people with pain definitely need care. And there was a national push, really, to treat pain that also played a role in the expanded use of opioids and this consequence of addiction that resulted from that. So in Oregon, really, primary care practitioners who, of course, are at the front lines of that prescribing and that managing of pain have received a lot of guidance and education, and a lot has been learned about how to manage pain, and it has improved considerably. So less over-prescribing, more use of alternatives, and better treatments.
Going to take a break. More when we come back. Dr. Greg Brigham, CEO of ADAPT, and we'll talk about their name change as well when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Dr. Greg Brigham is the CEO for ADAPT, their 50th anniversary of service being marked this year. And Dr. Brigham, along with that, as you talk about a number of the changes that have been made, not just in the treatment field or the field that feels, really, that you cover, also a name change for ADAPT. Tell us more about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So essentially, ADAPT is a nonprofit, and as we've already covered, has been in existence since 1971. So this is our birthday year, 50 years. We are owned by our mission, which is to provide our communities access to world-class primary care, addictions treatment, behavioral health care, and prevention services to promote health and to restore lives. We have a volunteer board of trustees who have guided the organization throughout its development and have a commitment to supporting us in providing integrated care. So as I mentioned, we started out with addictions care, alcoholism care in 1971. We expanded into primary care in 2006, and we've been doing business under the name of South River Community Health Center to provide that primary care. And it has had behavioral health integrated into it pretty much since its inception. But the goal is to even further integrate our addictions care, which we've already talked about, and the community mental health program, which ADAPT assumed that mission as well in 2016. So as we've been working steadily towards internal integration of those services to remove any barriers to people getting any of those services that they can benefit from and desire, we've also been operating under separate names for these things. So substance abuse has been delivered under the name ADAPT. The community mental health program is operated under the name Compass Behavioral Health, and South River Community Health Center, of course, has been our primary care. So this has, in our opinion, been, we're happy with the reputation of all those brands, and we're grateful for all the support the community has given us in being successful with those types of care. But we're moving forward with kind of removing the barriers as much as we can and having full integration internally of those services so that when someone comes to ADAPT, there's virtually no wrong door. Any door they come through to seek care, whether it's they're seeking care for addictions or for a mental health condition or primary care, all of those services are available to them. So we've decided to change our name to reflect that integration. So in going forward, we'll be referred to as ADAPT Integrated Healthcare to represent that integrated care. So we're retiring the brand of South River with its proud history, and also that of Compass Behavioral Health, which also has the proud history and good reputation. But we believe this will be less confusing to the public and also further our internal integration efforts.
And I imagine, in fact, I've had some comments along the way from folks who actually thought the three were separate organizations.
Yes, it's not unusual when we were in meetings where or events where all three were serving, where we had to introduce ourselves basically three times. And I think it's worked well over the years, but I think it's time for us to shed it. The integration has gone to a scale now where it's useful, I think, for people to understand that it's all one organization.
And it seems like this idea of integration, of combining more services under one umbrella, is something not unique to ADAPT, but a number of other organizations in here and in other places as well have looked at that and said if somebody comes in, they may have this problem, but in the course of treatment or discussion with a provider, more may be found out. And if you have the infrastructure in place, then it's a lot easier to assure the person gets treatment for perhaps the root issue or a separate issue altogether, as opposed to just sending them to somebody down the street.
Yes, that's right. That is the trend in healthcare, is towards integration. It's national policy. It's part of the healthcare reform movement within Oregon, and Oregon is a leader in the country on healthcare reform and innovation, and it's really at the core of it to integrate physical health, behavioral health, and oral health.
Now, backing up a bit in terms of the types of treatment you've provided, when you take a look at alcoholism or related issues, people often think of adults, but what about the youth treatment aspect, and has that become more of an issue in recent years?
Yes. So originally ADAPT, like many other councils on alcoholism, was really focused on adults and mostly outpatient. In 1982, we added residential care for youth. And then in 1987, we started treating, in 1982, that was for adults. In 1987, we started a youth outpatient treatment program, and then a year later, a residential treatment program for youth with substance use disorder problems.
Do you feel the youth problem has increased, especially in our area?
There have been a lot of changes to the way that people are coming to us. With the legalization of marijuana, there seems to be less urgency for a lot of people when they see youth that are using. But certainly the problem has increased. It has not gotten worse. I mean, not gotten better. But the number of people coming into treatment has not increased. And that's been a concern for us, that COVID has played a role in that, of course, with schools not meeting as regularly. Oftentimes, schools are a place where a youth who's not doing well can be spotted, either through, you know, behavioral problems they're having or just sort of failure to do well or to perform. So all of the isolation that's taken place during COVID has kind of given us a mixed picture where we know there's an increase in severity, but there's also less people getting help. And that's had a significant impact on youth.
Have those marijuana law changes within the treatment industry, if you will, been a topic of a lot of discussion?
Well, they really have. We're still trying to adjust and understand how this will affect the system. Certainly, we see more people who are seeking care who use marijuana, and we see less concern about it until it really becomes a severe problem because, you know, it's not illegal now. So, of course, it is with youth, but in adults, it's not. So there seems to be a more casual approach to it. And this is decreasing the tendency to seek care until things get further along.
So with the name change and all the things that are going on, for people who use your services, what remains the same?
Well, same people, same providers, same locations, same telephone numbers, all those things work. Really what we've done is sort of add some additional opportunities to receive services that are needed and desired. So people can still come and see their same primary care provider at their same location. They'll still see the same people, you know, greeting them at the door. What they'll notice is the name change on forms that they sign and the way we answer the telephone. And they'll see more opportunities to get additional services if that is something they need and want, and an increased ease of doing that. So no more having to come in the door for primary care, and if you need behavioral health, walk back out the door and go over to that. This, whoever they're having contact with, will be able to facilitate their care for anything that we provide.
What do you think's in store for the next 50 years?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I think that we need greater penetration of this integration into all of the areas that people have need. We still have a lot of regulatory and funding things that force some separation between these things. So they're still siloed in rules and laws and in payment methods and so on. So I think that will all continue to change over time. And this integrated care will become the standard of care everywhere.
All right. Adapt, 50 years of service. Dr. Greg Brigham, the CEO, thanks for being on today.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.